Hey guys, this is your host, Steve Webb, and I'm hoping you'll stick around after today's reading to listen to a promo for my friend Brian Duncan's new audiobook, produced by yours truly. In case you don't know Brian Duncan, he's a multiple Dove Award-winning singer-songwriter who goes all the way back to the earliest days of contemporary Christian music, when he was a member of the groundbreaking Sweet Comfort Band. So now he's an author, and his first book is called Hogwash. If you ride motorcycles, or if you have a friend who does, you'll definitely want to grab a copy of this. So don't be too quick to skip to your next podcast after the reading today. Even if you're not a motorcycle rider, I think you'll enjoy listening to Brian talking about bikes and bikers. And now, on with the LifeSpring Family Bible. Welcome to the LifeSpring Family Bible. I'm Steve Webb, your host. Today we finish the book of Genesis with chapters 48, 49, and 50. If you listen closely, you'll hear a prophecy about the coming Messiah. Here's a hint. As Jacob is blessing his 12 sons, each son gets a blessing. Listen for what Jacob says to Judah. Let's begin. Genesis chapter 48. After these things, Joseph was told, "Your father is weakening." So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. When Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has just come to you," Israel regained strength and sat up on his bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "The sovereign God appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, 'I am going to make you fruitful and will multiply you. I will make you into a group of nations, and I will give this land to your descendants as an everlasting possession.' Now as for your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, they will be mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are. Any children that you father after them will be yours. They will be listed under the names of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I was returning from Paddan, Rachel died, to my sorrow, in the land of Canaan. It happened along the way, some distance from Ephrath. So I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem." When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he asked, "Who are these?" Jacob said to his father, "They are the sons God has given me in this place." His father said, "Bring them to me so that I may bless them." Now Israel's eyes were failing because of his age. He was not able to see well. So Joseph brought his sons near to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see you again, but now God has allowed me to see your children too." So Joseph moved them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. Joseph positioned them. He put Ephraim on his right hand across from Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left hand across from Israel's right hand. Then Joseph brought them closer to his father. Israel stretched out his right hand and placed it on Ephraim's head, although he was the younger. Crossing his hands, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has protected me from all harm, bless these boys. May my name be named in them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. May they grow into a multitude on the earth." When Joseph saw that his father placed his right hand on Ephraim's head, it displeased him. So he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He too will become a nation, and he too will become great. In spite of this, his younger brother will be even greater, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you will Israel bless, saying, 'May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh.'" So he put Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you back to the land of your fathers. As one who is above your brothers, I give you the mountain slope, which I took from the Amorites with my sword and my bow." Genesis chapter 49. Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather together so I can tell you what will happen to you in the future." Assemble and listen, you sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. Outstanding in dignity, outstanding in power. You are destructive like water and will not excel, for you got on your father's bed, then you defiled it. He got on my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their knives. O my soul, do not come into their council. Do not be united to their assembly, my heart. For in their anger they have killed men, and for pleasure they have hamstrung oxen. Cursed be your anger, for it was fierce, and their fury, for it was cruel. I will divide them from Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down before you. You are a lion's cub, Judah. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches and lies down like a lion, like a lioness. Who will rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. The nations will obey him. Binding his foal to the vine, and his colt to the choicest vine, he will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be dark from wine, and his teeth white from milk. Zebulun will live by the haven of the sea and become a haven for ships. His border will extend to Sidon. Issachar is a strong-boned donkey lying between two saddlebags. When he sees a good resting place in the pleasant land, he will bend his shoulder to the burden and become a slave laborer. Dan will judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. May Dan be a snake beside the road, a viper by the path that bites the heels of the horse so that its rider falls backward. I wait for your deliverance, O Lord. Gad will be raided by marauding bands, but he will attack them at their heels. Asher's food will be rich, and he will provide delicacies to royalty. Naphtali is a free-running doe. He speaks delightful words. Joseph is a fruitful bough near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. The archers will attack him. They will shoot at him and oppose him. But his bow will remain steady and his hands will be skillful because of the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of the God of your father who will help you, because of the sovereign God who will bless you with blessings from the sky above, blessings from the deep that lies below, and blessings of the breasts and the womb. The blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of the eternal mountains or the desirable things of the age-old hills. They will be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of the prince of his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, in the morning devouring the prey, and in the evening dividing the plunder. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He gave each of them an appropriate blessing. Then he instructed them, "I am about to go to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite. It is the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought for a burial plot from Ephron the Hittite. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. There they buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah, and there I buried Leah. The field and the cave in it were acquired from the sons of Heth." When Jacob finished giving these instructions to his sons, he pulled his feet up onto the bed, breathed his last breath, and went to his people. Genesis chapter 50. Then Joseph hugged his father's face. He wept over him and kissed him. Joseph instructed the physicians in his service to embalm his father, so the physicians embalmed Israel. They took 40 days, for that is the full time needed for embalming. The Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's royal court, "If I have found favor in your sight, please say to Pharaoh, 'My father made me swear an oath. He said, I am about to die. Bury me in my tomb that I dug for myself there in the land of Canaan. Now let me go and bury my father. Then I will return.' So Pharaoh said, 'Go and bury your father, just as he made you swear to do.' So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials went with him, the senior courtiers of his household, all the senior officials of the land of Egypt, all Joseph's household, his brothers, and his father's household. But they left their little children and their flocks and herds in the land of Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with them, so it was a very large entourage. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, on the other side of the Jordan, they mourned there with very great and bitter sorrow. There Joseph observed a 7-day period of mourning for his father. When the Canaanites who lived in the land saw them mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "This is a very sad occasion for the Egyptians." That is why its name was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond the Jordan. So the sons of Jacob did for him just as he had instructed them. His sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre. This is the field Abraham purchased as a burial plot from Ephron the Hittite. After he buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt along with his brothers and all who had accompanied them to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge and wants to repay us in full for all the harm we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave these instructions before he died. Tell Joseph this, please forgive the sin of your brothers and the wrong they did when they treated you so badly. Now please forgive the sin of the servants of the God of your father." When this message was reported to him, Joseph wept. Then his brothers also came and threw themselves down before him. They said, "Here we are your slaves." But Joseph answered them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant to harm me, but God intended it for a good purpose, so he could preserve the lives of many people, as you can see this day. So now don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little children." Then he consoled them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph lived in Egypt along with his father's family. Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw the descendants of Ephraim to the third generation. He also saw the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh. They were given special inheritance rights by Joseph. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to you and lead you up from this land to the land he swore an oath to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He said, "God will surely come to you. Then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110. After they embalmed him, his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Now we know the end of Jacob and the end of Joseph. In addition to that, we heard a prophecy about the coming Messiah. Did you hear it? Tomorrow we begin the book of Matthew in the New Testament. I'm very much looking forward to reading Matthew. I hope to see you then. I'm Steve Webb. God bless you. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.
Motorcycles are great for clearing your head. I can now tell when it's time to get on the bike because there's a ringing in my ears that won't go away. It's a high-pitched frequency that comes with all the little annoyances in a day. Mostly it's that cell phone frequency of someone else's voice telling me what I gotta do next. Or when I realize I've had my nose to the grindstone for hours or days, a motorcycle might be the one roller coaster you don't have to stand in line to ride. And the good news is, you can go around again if you feel like it. Closest thing to flying you can do on the ground. It's Drano for your head, a spectacular cleansing of the cobwebs in your soul. It's a regained sense of control with the flick of your wrist, the wind pushing the twist out of your face, putting it back where twists belong, on the road, like streets of gold running through the gates of heaven. Suddenly angels aren't so hard to believe in. Miracles might be possible, but if nothing else good ever happens today, this moment will always be mine. Just one of an ongoing series of little vacations. Once a day, if I'm lucky, for an hour or two, all my troubles fly by like those little white lines on the highways I ride. It's the cheapest of all the vacations I've taken. I can return to my post with fresh air in my lungs, maybe the smell of earth or the rain, or the trees that have blossomed. The V-twin is hot, but my turmoil has cooled. And that ringing in my ears? Well, it finally disappears. Good reasons to just ride. Mom is moving in and bringing her little dog. Court-ordered anger management. How a biker knows he's getting old.
Get off my lawn.
Adjusting kneecap before dismounting bike. New engine brakes in at 50 miles per hour. Use of tattoos to cover age spots. Thoughts you've had about idiot cagers. Throw a live skunk through the open window.
Hey!
Descriptions you don't want to hear when your club rolls in mass. Look, the Shriners are here. Justifications for bike accessories explained to wife. Low-profile tires grip better in rain. Aftermarket loud pipes save lives. Chrome makes bike more visible in traffic. Red flags when looking to buy used bike. Answer is maybe when asked if bike was ever dropped. Offers to throw in extra parts. You have to check it out after dark. I lost the registration. I'll take 500 cash, but you gotta write out right now. Things you don't say in a biker bar. I just won the lottery. They paid me in cash. I just broke up with my girlfriend. She's out in the parking lot. Possible eye hazards on your scooter outing. Butt crack on a crotch rocket. Nose picker driving the Winnebago. Moose leaving dung deposit on roadway. Why bikers have tattoos? Can't remember girlfriend's name. Good cover for age spots. Body can be identified when head is missing. Reminder, you actually had a mom. Why a lot of bikers have shaved heads? Can't tell he's not wearing a helmet. Easier to get your head out of your tight places. How a biker knows there's been a downturn in the economy. Sold the dog for a tank of gas. Passenger seat sold because mama's working two jobs. Regular maintenance includes duct tape and a coat hanger. Biker theology on little frickin' stickers. There is a God, you're not him. Jesus is coming, look busy. The devil loves you, idiots are easy to work with. If prayer changes things, why are you still here? God's plan A is usually my plan B. God loves sinners, good news for me. Classic literature a biker has read cover to cover. That would be... How a biker makes sense of the Bible. Hey, we all got kicked out of the garden. Better understanding of the road to redemption. Personal experience with a reprieve from the judge. Already knows what rapture feels like. Understands trusting somebody to have your back. Also understands being ratted out and left for dead. Spiritual journey needs a kickstart.
Pretty good stuff, huh? Brian and I had a blast recording this, and you've only heard just a brief excerpt. Head on over to hogwashhumor.com and pick up your own copy of the full version. It's only $9.95, and you can download it right away. And I know you'll love it. It even makes a great Valentine's gift for that biker in your life. Thanks a lot.